I'm convinced that the only thing that will help the Lord's people is practical experience that each of them have to share, as the Lord permits, with others. It's almost gone. But I think all of us in time will be able to relate, some already, about the devotion and just how far down we can get, how far away. I've been awakened in the middle of the night, nauseated. I remember. Well, I sat down at the table and was little more than an animal, just consuming what God had given without any thought of or thankfulness for it. And God will let us drift to raise us up, to make us aware of what we really are outside Him and what we are of self. And that's absolutely nothing. Can do nothing. Have nothing. And the only thing we can do is just be like that prodigal son, go home with a smell of the hog pen upon us and change of clothes that are without a change of clothes. Don't know how long you've been wearing. That's all you can do. Just go like you are. And you'll find a great peace in being very open and honest with God. Lord, I don't know where that thought arose, but I don't like it. I know it's wrong. Help me. In every small detail of life, if you can learn just to run where you are, immediately upon realization, if I'm at a distance from my Lord right now. And I pondered over the old writer of the hymn was talking about the latter days. And many of the old writers believed in had a post-millennial view of the glory that was going to be on the earth before the consummation of things. Now, they were brilliant men. I could never understand how they could see that in light of, but they didn't live in our day with all the corruption and everything, and they were looking for it. I'm somewhat convinced that they were right, not in the world ever knew anything about it, but in the church. There will be a latter day glory that has been missing for generations. We will keep laboring as He enables, and praying for the time when Christ once again will be exalted in the local assembly. If you'll turn back with me to John 4, I guess this is the third, I don't know. Don't keep up with it anymore. It's not important. Three or four times from this chapter, and that randomly, certainly not doing justice to the entirety of the chapter, or even thus far having looked at the conversation between Christ and this poor woman. We'll return there, I trust, that the Lord will help as we open the Scriptures. Would you pray with me, please? Holy Father, I thank you that Christianity is real. We're coming to find more of that reality in Christ. Looking for a time when he will be greatly exalted, and the Spirit of God will in power move upon our souls, drawing the soul that we would be like Bunyan's pilgrim, with our fingers stuck in our ears, our back turned to everything, and our eyes fixed solely upon getting to that hill, to that cross, and to that man dying between two thieves. Thank you that grace is so real. And that the darkness of the hour, sometimes the darkness within our own hearts, makes a little light shine so brightly. And Father, I pray for these dear souls that sit here, that you might, in maybe not to the degree to which you brought this woman, but that each could walk out knowing something of what Christ did for her in elevating her beyond the reality of life. And she walked away and will forever, from that day till she was taken from this life, be a true worshiper. Help that we might be so. And we might come to find out a little more today of our hearts in unison with the Spirit of God in elevating and glorifying Christ, our great Savior. Help your Lord in hearing. Grant help in preaching. And give us the Spirit of God to make application. For no man has the ability to take the Word of God and fit it in each individual heart. So we call upon Thee for help this day. All for Christ's honor and glory. In His name we pray. Amen. Wednesday evening, we looked at verse number 28. But would you go back with me to verse number 26 for us to begin our reading? Jesus saith unto her, Now this is the one that she had heard and that she knew would be in the world. And she knew if he ever got here, or when he got here, that he would be able to tell everybody all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak. And it is that is absolutely essential in your soul. In reading the scriptures, in hearing a message, or in a closet, hearing Jesus Christ saying, I am He. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? And I tried to point out to you a place above life. A place above physical activity where she was upon the realization that this is the Messiah talking to me personally. Her one purpose in coming down to the well that morning was to fill her water pot. That's all she had in mind to do at this particular time. And yet she was so caught up that she forgot why she came. Water pot didn't matter anymore. She just forgot it. She left the water pot. And she went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man. The evangelical worker says, Believe. No man has that authority. Paul used it once. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But he saw a work of God in that jailer's heart. Conviction. The Spirit of God dealing with him brought him to the place that the spokesman for the Lord at that particular moment could say, and say with absolute accuracy, believe. We just pull that little word out, and we throw it out. She didn't ask him or tell him to believe. She just said, come see. It'll be up to God. You can point him to. That's all you can do. Leave him alone and let God do the work within. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And here's what I would like for you to think with me for the next little while this morning. Verse number 32. But he said unto them, and here's the thought, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said his disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught? Somebody come down here while we were gone and gave him a piece of bread or even more. Somebody must have brought him something because he's not hungry. And it's been a good while since any of us had anything to eat. And hungry men must eat. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. The woman in meeting him was raised to a realm that she never knew. The thought had never entered her mind. Elevated to a height that she never could have envisioned. Certainly could have given no thought to it, especially upon just meeting the Messiah. But in meeting him, she was raised. If ye then, it's not a matter of some not being raised. It's a matter of if you. Because all in Christ, all will be raised. And it won't be the resurrection when everything's over or when you pass from this walk of life. It'll be when you meet him. Out of darkness into his marvelous light. From the depths of sin to a glorious height. All sinners are risen or will be risen in him. You say, well, all are sinners and not all. Everybody has been made aware of their real condition. And upon hearing in their soul the gospel, they will be raised. And everybody in Christ will now and again have that verse in Revelation 4 spoken to John become reality in your soul. Come up hither. You will be carried. Might be a short span of time. You might be performing normal, regular duties. Or you might just be out somewhere like you heard this morning. But there'll be something within that'll call you up from where you are. And you'll be gazing upon a Christ that's sitting on the throne of glory. But at the same time, in her meeting him and being elevated, her meeting him brought out of Him, brought out of His fullness, part of it, to her. And she received from His fullness. That's what keeps the Christian alive here. That's what keeps all in glory, the fullness of Christ being dispersed to the individual members. Oh, you realize God is keeping the wicked alive as much as He is His children. And do you realize God is providing sufficiently for them as He is His children? They just never will know it until it's too late. But the children will be receiving from the fullness of the Lord Jesus from the moment they come in contact with throughout all eternity. Jesus Christ is always in the giving mode, for He's the one that is glorified when you have a heart fixed to receive that He has for you. And of His fullness have we all received, the disciple, the apostle said, and grace for grace. For Jesus Himself said that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, came to be a servant, came that from His fullness there might flow a sufficient supply to as many as the Father had given Him. For the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and give His life a ransom, and it will be from that life wherein you will be sustained. You remember His teaching about the eagles being there where the body is. And you know something about Isaiah speaking to you when you're weary and faint and lack strength, and God renewing it like an eagle. And an eagle will always go. Vultures will eat dead prey. But an eagle won't eat anything but that which is live. And drink that blood, which is one which is warm. So the eagles will always gather where the body of Christ is being broken, and the blood of Christ applied afresh and anew. Dear ones, the overriding issue, the one purpose in the Lord Jesus coming, was to change an earthbound creature into a heavenly minded saint and make them now and throughout eternity eternal worshipers. That's one of the facts that has been lost before we ever got here. And now we make men workers. And now we come up with positions in the church so that we can keep men active. We make men doers, and Jesus Christ came to make us worshipers. Now, would you permit me for a little while to speak to you as an individual? To you who are gathered right now, at this particular hour, and to any that might later hear. For it has absolutely nothing to do with those on the outside. It has nothing to do with one that didn't make it, one that should have made it, wish somebody else had been here. It's got nothing to do with anybody but us. And could I ask you, to not isolate us away from them, we are the others. And because we're always here, we've become so familiar with holy things that we will treat them carelessly. And I'm asking you as an individual, to hear, if you can, and if the Lord will, to hear specifically as an individual before the Lord. You did not receive sufficiently when and if God truly saved you. If He really did, if it was a true conversion, then the life within will need a fresh supply of grace every day of your life. And if there is no hunger and no thirst, it is due to the fact that there is not life within. Now sometimes we can go for a pretty lengthy period without eating. But you eventually are going to go back to the table. Now you can go without hearing and without feeding sometimes for a good while, but eventually you gotta get back. The only reason God made you with an appetite is to show you that in a realm that cannot be seen. That's the only reason. Sufficient nutrients must be supplied within for the life that God has created. Blessed are they that, and He doesn't use a past tense, they that hungered and they that thirst. It is a present condition. Blessed are they that have within a hunger and a thirst. It is an ever present, continual need for that life within. Yesterday's bread might carry you 2 or 3 days. But eventually it'll be spent. And you gotta get back. Now, folk, there was no outwardly difference between 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins. But couldn't anybody on the outside put them into the 2 classes? Nobody could have made any distinction. For the wise looked like the foolish, and the foolish looked like the wise. The wise were acting like the foolish, and the foolish were acting like the wise. Nobody could have separated them into 2 groups. All of them had a lamp. Outward profession. All of them had oil. Working of the Spirit. One of the writers said, Hebrews 6, maybe I'll read verse 2 in Hebrews 10 later, said they're like 2 giant lighthouses to help and to warn every child of God of the danger in them approaching carnality. These have tasted, that's the foolish virgins, the Word of God. They have inwardly been made aware of the worlds to come. They have had sufficient supply of the oil, at least to alarm them for a time. They had oil in their lamps. And every one of them were at the same place. And only God knew the difference in those 10 ladies that day. Those that had life created and being formed within had been lifted at one time as the woman of the well from a carnal, natural standpoint of nature. And the five wise had been lifted into a realm above a profession. Above walking the aisle, above praying the sinner's prayer, above getting baptized, they had been lifted above all these things. But the foolish had come to a realization they need something or they're going to hell. And they got satisfied with a little amount of oil. And they didn't find out till it was too late. That's when most wish it might be different, but that then I would be wishing contrary to the will of God. But I wish somehow it could be different, and God would once again awaken folks to the realization that they need to make certain their election and calling, and that they don't enter into the presence of God with these hopes within that He did something for me back there. And I'm all right. It's going to be the greatest day of shock that there could ever possibly be. You will if God spares you. And if He does not, your family will. They will hear of tragic news. But the most solemn, the most somber, and the most heartbreaking thing that anybody could ever hear would be an individual walking religiously in life, thinking that heaven would be theirs, and then for the Lord of glory to say, depart. At the moment, the wise and the foolish are acting the same. The wise are asleep. But every once in a while, in previous days, walking with the Lord, their soul had been lifted to a place of thankfulness, adoration, praise, and worship. And it just got above everything here to where it was just the Lord and themselves. Now to the text. I have meat that I've been eating that you don't know anything about. I wish I would be speaking to all, but I know I'm not. But there is that that takes place in a believer's heart that nobody knows anything about. And sometimes it is to such a degree that it is unexplainable. Webster doesn't have enough words in his old dictionary to describe. It's just you and the Lord. Nobody intermeddleth with this time, with this joy, with this work of grace within. And nobody knows what name God has called you, except you yourself, having given you a white stone with your name written therein. That I'm talking about, bread that nobody knew anything about, is, and bread that you will have from time to time, it is called communion. It is called an exchange between you and the Lord. It is the kingdom of heaven being made real in your soul. It is a visitation from the Lord of glory to you personally. And it is as solemn as was this hour when the woman found out that he's the one. Kingdom of heaven like to a man that found treasure hid in a field. And when he had found it, he goes, hides it, sells everything that he's got so he has enough to buy that treasure. That's salvation. That's meat that supplies. You don't get anything because you come here. You might not even get anything because I'm telling you these things. It's got to be more. It's got to be above human words. It's got to be a believer in communion with Christ Jesus. It's missing. It's all but gone. It's a little more than a fairy tale in this day. The risen Christ sent a personal word to the 11 disciples, 10 of them in particular, and to one that was so far down that he didn't know that what he might be another Judas. But the King of Heaven sent a personal word to the 10 disciples and Peter that he was risen. Nobody else in the world knew that, except the woman that took the message. 500 one day will meet him. Saul of Tarsus one day will meet and find out that Jesus Christ is risen. But those 11 men are the only ones, and that woman, in the world that knew Christ was risen. And that nation went to hell believing the story of the soldiers. We went to sleep and his disciples stole his body. And the Jews to this day, naturally born Jews to this day, still believe that story. And they're still looking for Jesus. I used to be a Christian Jew out of Texas. When I was a young minister, that the Lord had converted. That's a rare thing. And he had, I don't remember the name, every day a radio broadcast, the Christian Jew Hour. But the nation went to hell on the story, believing the story that the soldiers told, because the chief priest and the Pharisees gave them money to lie. You got to know it. A lot of folk know the fact because your Bible's got it printed in it. A lot of folk know the fact because you've heard it all your life. I'm not speaking about a fact that you hold and know. I'm speaking about the reality of a risen Savior, because now and again you are like the woman, and now and again you have meat. You know what? A lot of folk want to fast and try to get God to do. You know what a real fast is? It's just communion between you and your Lord becomes so real, becomes so sweet, becomes so nourishing that you don't have an appetite or think about food. Lord, we fasted, but we see now that it was a mistake on our part, because you've never honored our do without bread. Every single child of God that will enter glory has been or will be brought to the realization that Jesus Christ is risen. They will know that by experience, for there will be times when they will ascend to a place beyond here, to a realm of solitude. Silence, where there is a holy exchange between God Almighty and your soul. Christ was raised. I know He was raised, not because the story of the woman to the 11 disciples was printed in book, but by experience, and every now and again getting a morsel of bread that nobody knows anything about. The five foolish virgins were traveling upon literal facts. They did have enough illumination to journey with the wise. But in the most critical hour, they found out that though God may have dealt with them, and though the Spirit of God may have been active in them for a little, it wasn't sufficient, because they do not this day have oil. If you ever started on the way by being born into the family of God, you will stay on the way. Stumble and fall, that you will. The just man falleth seven times, but he gets up. You will stumble, you will fall, but there is within you something that keeps directing your steps toward Christ, the King of glory. The wise had a propensity within. I know that word means natural inclination, but I'm not speaking about a natural inclination. The wise had a propensity within to worship. The wise had a need for daily communion. I don't know what took place, and yet I have found that state is not uncommon to the believer, us just going to sleep. But they had a supply of oil. That they had sufficiently been given. Not when they were converted, not when they first started out on the way, but they had a supply of oil based upon daily fellowship and communion with a risen Lord. That means you've got to get above the earth and activity and duties, rightly so. Whatever, you got to get to that place to keep a reserve of oil. I shouldn't use the word reserve. To find sufficient oil for the day's journey. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. first dealing with Abraham's two sons. One was born of a free woman, and one was born of the bond woman after the flesh. Verse number 23. But now verse number 24, the apostle tells the New Testament church why this took place and why these things are written, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agur. For this Agur is Mount Sinai in Arabia. Now this was Abraham's wife, second wife, bond woman. But the apostle is telling you she represents a life of bondage. He's telling you that she is Mount Sinai, and that she and all her children will be all their days in bondage. But now listen to verse number 26. But Jerusalem, which is above. How do you know? Jerusalem, which is above, is free, and the woman above is the mother of all the true children. Now you see the difference between the Pharisees and scribes and the woman at the well. Being born from above, she is taken from the realm of this life. And she is now in that heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all. Now think on these words, John 8. Ye are from beneath. That's where they'll live. And that's where they'll die. Let me give you another one of Christ. I thought I would, but ye are of your father. That's a pretty close relationship. Only way somebody become a father is one that's born into his family. You are from beneath, he's saying to the Pharisees and to the scribes. You are of your father, the devil, he's saying to the religious crowd. Lived on Mount Sinai. Don't do, don't touch, don't steal, don't kill. But the children are born from above. I am not of this world. I am from above. And all the children will come to the place where Jesus is. Two different worlds. See, I don't know if you're a child of the devil. There's some on earth that are in hell or will be in hell before they ever get there. And there's a lot of folk on earth that will never be saved. Two different worlds, two different realms, two different fathers. But there's a time growing up that you can't tell a tare from a wheat. And there never is given, most likely never is given enough discernment to a human being to determine who's the wise virgin and who's the foolish virgin. Some folk looking back over the years that I thought surely they are God's children and looking at one beside them thinking they'll never make it. Guess who's still hanging in there? The ones that I thought never would make it. And who are those not in the way? the ones I had such high hope for years ago. The difference between the five wise and the five foolish. The difference between the tare and the wheat is exchange and communion. It is bread from above that nobody knows anything about. One last. No. This is that in Hebrews 10 I told you. One of the old writers said, I will leave this verse 32 and following, verse through 36, 37, for you to read sometime this afternoon. You might find a morsel in it that would benefit your soul in present circumstances. But I want you now, for the time being, to look at verse number 38, okay? Forget about that which is above. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we, those pressing on, persevering, feeding, finding nutrients in a risen Christ, bread that nobody knows anything about except you, and the other children that have been or will be in your particular circumstance. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe and keep on believing and keep on believing. It is an ever-present tense. Well, I believed it. See, that's the problem. You put a D on the end of the word believe, and you put it a past tense. No. But of them that keep on keeping on believing to the saving of their soul. Folk tearing of wheat, the wise and foolish, have a lot in common. There are gifts given out even to the ministry and to the edification of the church of God. There are gifts given to men with men that have no grace. There are professions made by the multitudes today but do not possess and if they were sitting here, they have no. It'd make no sense whatsoever for them to be sitting here because I'd be talking like a babbling idiot. Bread that nobody knows anything about. A woman carried to a place that she forgot her water pots. The professor won't ever know what these things are saying. A lot of folk have a form that don't have power. And the tare and the wheat, they had heaven's moisture. They had heaven's sun. They had a God-fixed soil. And they had nutrients provided by God of heaven to grow up in the same place that the wheat did. They had the same things given them that the wheat did. And so did the foolish virgin. They all from the same source at one time got a morsel of bread. But the foolish got enough at one sitting. Now if you go home and eat lunch, and by the evening time, and tomorrow, and the next day, you are not hungry, then you can forget what I'm talking about. Because the foolish got enough at one sitting. One of God's dealings with them that they never needed anything else. If you can walk out of here If you walked in without a need, if you can walk out without a need, if you can live without a need, you rest assured that you are not Christ. One can have their intellect, their emotions stirred, and make a response. But the true convert has manna. From above. Meat that nobody knows anything about. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud. All of them passed through the sea. All were baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now listen. And did all eat the same spiritual meat? And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. They all had the same manna. They all had the same drink. Most of them died as rebels in the wilderness. Now let me close. There may be a child sitting here, or you may at times write the sentence of death upon yourself due to how slowly or how little progress you seemingly have made in the spiritual life. You will hear others speak and know nothing of what they're talking about. Sounds good. Sounds right. But they're talking of things beyond your comprehension. And oft times the devil will use that. Well, that's a true Christian. Look where you are. You don't know anything. Growth in divine knowledge is slow. And it comes most of the time over a long period of time. And most of the time, you'll find that bread when you stumble, fallen, been asleep, and look around. We got little ones in here that used to have to be carried. They're growing up, but it's going to take some years. Visibility of that which is invisible. A first grade teacher wouldn't set before her students Einstein's formula on how much energy is created when mass is destroyed. She's getting them where they just know their numbers and can put one and one together or two and two. Look at the 11 disciples. They had the teacher of teachers. They had divine knowledge standing in person. They had a direct source, the very mouth of God speaking to them. They had light himself, and yet were such slow learners. So don't kick yourself. Don't sit where you are. Don't use this as an excuse to blame growth. I'm telling you, don't kick yourself if growth to you seems slow. And Jesus saying to them as they journeyed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And they've got to think, oh my goodness, we forgot to take bread. He wasn't talking about physical bread. I have meat to eat that you know not of. Oh, somebody came while we weren't here and brought him something to eat. It was sometime after the death of Christ, the advent of the Spirit of God, before much that they had been taught began to make any sense whatsoever. Then the disciples, they'd be put in a particular circumstance, and say, and then the disciples remembered the words of the Lord Jesus. Do you think that the Samaritan woman was advanced in the school of knowledge when she went to tell the men? All she knew was that she met one that they'd been told was coming. And all she had to tell them was what the morsel of bread that he gave her. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Now, folk, we think activity is Christian service. Activity that does not flow from and that does not spring up from a heart lifted above this realm of life to a heart getting in contact with heaven. If labor does not spring out of that given within, from above, then your works are wood, hay, and stubble. All you've got to give anybody that will ever profit them is that you have received personally from the Lord. Jesus came to bring worshipers to God.